Welcome to the Autumn Miles Show with your host, Autumn Miles. Autumn is an author, speaker, wife, and mother. She's the founder and CEO of The Blush Network, the author of Appointed, and a premier contributor for The Blaze. Autumn's vision is to engage our culture with the bold truth of God coupled with raw faith. Now here's your host, Autumn Miles.
Hello, Autumn Miles, back with you. How are you today? I am great today. I am, you know, today has just already been an awesome day. I just believe big things for this show because I know that our God has appointed you to listen in today. You know, yesterday we left off and we were talking, you know, at about 3 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m. in the morning, there I was. I had just heard from the Lord. Do you remember me? I picked up my Bible and I opened it to a verse that changed my life. The righteous will have long life. I fell down a broken woman and rose a champion for the Lord. And this is going to be kind of a continuation of my story. But today we are going to focus on marriage. My husband's name is Eddie Miles. We have been married for 11 years. We're knocking on number 12's door. Like I said yesterday, he is the best part of me. You know, I find out the more years that we're married, how perfectly God created us for each other. It's crazy that the trials that we go through, he'll be strong when I'm weak. The talents that he has and I have, you know, I've got one and he doesn't. And it's a beautiful thing the way God has created marriage. You know, the first time around, I did not do it right. But the second time around, I was committed to doing marriage God's way, and that is what we are going to talk about today. I want to pick up my story, though. You know, that night at 3 a.m. in the morning, my circumstances didn't change. I was still in an abusive marriage. I was very trapped. I didn't know where to go. My dad was the pastor of my church. I didn't want to be an embarrassment to him. And so I kept it inside. And I just thought, okay, Lord, now I have the tools. Now I have what I need in you. Now I can sort of learn about you and you can help me with these hurdles of this abusive marriage that I was in. But even with his help, the abuse got worse and worse. I remember separating from him at least four different times. I went and told my parents. I said, listen, you just need to know this. I'm in this marriage. He's abusing me. Of course, they already had their suspicions anyway. But it was finally out. I was able to tell them. I remember sitting and having ice cream with my sister. I have a brother and a sister who are incredible. My sister's older than me. We went out to ice cream one day, and I remember eating my ice cream and I said, it was crazy conversation for ice cream now that I think about it. If I turn up dead, he killed me. And she looked at me like, what are you? And I'm like, and I just go on eating my mint chocolate chip. And that's not funny. But when I look back, I think, what kind of a mindset was I in if I'm eating ice cream and telling my sister, if I turn up dead somewhere, look at him first? And, you know, at that point, you know, our conversation clearly wasn't on anything light. But I began to tell people, I began to fill my mind with truth that, hey, I am chosen. I was created in the very image of God. I am not nothing. I am not stupid. I do have purpose. And I began feeding myself with those truths and started substituting the lies for the truth of God's word, which made my faith grow. I told you yesterday, I would ask the Lord, you know, in order to build my faith, you know, can a man with a blue shirt walk in the room? And of course someone would. And I started to freak out, and I would look at him and I'd be like, this is crazy. God is actually answering my prayers. I started going and walking. And there's this is going to sound really weird too. You don't think I'm weird, guys. But I started walking in this beautiful cemetery because it was close to my house, and it was like a couple miles. And I would go every evening and walk and pray. And I learned how to pray on those isolated roads of that cemetery. And I would ask God, you know, show me your glory. And he would show me in a sunset. You know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And I would walk and I would see the beautiful declaration of the power of God. It was just me and God, still with an abusive husband, but now I had the power I need to sort of go on with my day. I began learning him. It was weird at first. It was weird to sort of tap into something that you can't see, but you've always heard is there. It was uncomfortable at first. And then I began to understand and see how desperate I was for him. I would wake up every day and I would have to talk to him first. I couldn't wait for my husband to leave the house so I could go in my little safe room is what I called it. You know, the movie War Room just came out, but I had a safe room is what I called it, where abuse didn't take place. And I would go and I would grab that little blue Bible that spoke to me that night. And I would lay on the floor and I would worship the King, and I would pour through the pages of scripture that had new life. It wasn't just a story. It was directions for how I am supposed to live. It wasn't just something someone told me. I had to have it in order to exist, in order to operate in the circumstances I was in. I was desperate for the King. I would find myself hours, and I would look up and it'd be like 3 hours. And I was like, oh my goodness, I could stay here longer. And then I would think, you know, I got to go to work or whatever it was. The abuse got worse, but my confidence in the Lord grew and grew and grew. I took my marital problems, of course, to the Lord. Like I said, separated 4 times. We ended up going to counseling, which, you know, was very difficult when you are the victim of abuse, sitting in the counseling chair, and you know everything you say will be held against you. Once you leave the hour session that you are safe watching the counselor. And so the counseling wasn't effective. It wasn't effective. And I started praying as my faith grew. Lord, I need, what do I do? What do I do? At this point, I was separating for fear of my life, for fear of my safety. And I remember one day I actually went on a trip with my parents. I was gone for 10 days, and the Lord spoke to my spirit and told me, he released me from the marriage that I was in. And I went home and I filed the paperwork for divorce, which I do not condone divorce. And I want you to know where I come from, but I do not condone divorce. People get divorces for nothing these days. I've fallen out of love with them. Well, no, you haven't. Go to counseling, get back on track. But I do believe that the Bible speaks out about abuse in a marriage, and we will absolutely have a show about that in the future where we go through the passages of scripture that talk about that. And that day, the Lord released me. I went home and told him, and I was able to tell him as I walked out the door, you don't have any power over me anymore. I remember leaving, moved in with my parents, and I went to Liberty University. I love Liberty University. They're great buddies of mine. I go and speak there every semester. And once God had released me from that marriage, I was so intentional in my mind of doing marriage God's way. I want to tell you out there, those of you that have been divorced, there is hope for you. You are not a lost cause. You are not something that that is not to be messed with. You're not, for lack of a better word, trash. You are appointed for, if you still have breath in your body, there is purpose in your bones. And God is looking at you and he's saying, yeah, there's some circumstances here that I don't approve of, I don't love, but if you will turn to me, I will make the crooked ways straight. And I know there are so many people that have been divorced that sort of think, especially in the church, they're wearing this scarlet letter. And it is shameful. I've been there. I understand. We'll talk one day about what happened to my church, what happened to me through my church. I was basically rejected by my church because I divorced for abuse. But God came in and he said, yes, Autumn, you didn't do everything right. But I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. Keep in touch with me. Keep in tune with me, and I will bring good out of what has happened in your life. You know, I was sort of obsessed with the scriptures at this point. Like I said, I went to Liberty University, and the Word of God was my food. And, you know, God speaks out very clearly about marriage, and he gives us a blueprint for marriage. We don't have to guess. That's the great thing about being a Christian, is that we have the Bible. We don't have to guess what is the right thing, what is the wrong thing. We simply have to go to the truth of God's word. And when we seek it and when we look at it, it will reveal exactly what we need to do. And when I went to Liberty University, I was an old freshman. I was like the oldest girl there, I felt. I started thinking, you know what, Lord? It would be great to marry. It's okay if I don't. It would be great to marry. And I remember my brother, actually, one of the first days that I was there, I was walking with my brother. And of course, my family had walked through the divorce with me. It was very tough on my family, on so many things that sin affects. It was very tough on my family. But my brother was with me that day. And there was a group of guys that walked up. And, you know, I was so passionate about the Lord. At this point, I knew that God had called me to ministry. I knew where I was going. I had a one track mind in order to get to minister to women that were broken in my same situation, that maybe had been divorced, maybe do have something in their past. I couldn't wait to minister to people that had been broken. But I walked up, and in this group of guys, there was Eddie Miles. And he looked at me and I looked at him, and you know, I thought, oh, he's cute. And come to find out, he thought, oh, she's cute. And we started talking. You know what? We didn't talk about anything superficial, which is what I loved. We talked about the Lord. And we talked about the goodness of the Lord and what we wanted to do for the Lord, and what our goals were and what our plans were. And I remember walking away that night, that day, with my brother to another class or whatever we were going to. And I remember thinking, man, that's the kind of guy that I want to get to know better. That's the kind of guy right there. A couple of years later, we were married. And like I said before, you know, I didn't want to do it wrong a second time. So many of us that have been divorced do it wrong the second time. And then we do it wrong the third time. And then we do it wrong the fourth time. And before you know, you've got a string of exes and you just wish you would have done it right the first time. And I was so intentional. You know, I started thinking, what does God say? No sex before marriage. Well, Yep. No sex before marriage. That is one thing that our culture laughs at these days. I don't care if you're 35. I don't care if you're 55. I don't care if you're 65. No sex before marriage if you are looking at marrying someone. Absolutely not. Sin enters the relationship there, and you have a skewed view of what's right and what's wrong, and you can't even see, is this person actually for me, or do I just feel tied to him because of the sexual relationship I'm in with me? I was so gangster about no sex before marriage, and so was Eddie. Absolutely not. That is one of the things that God said we do not do. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter that I've been married before. It mattered what God's word said. No living together. This in today's day and age is laughable. You know, and it's hard to even find a TV show or whatever it is that a couple doesn't, you know, try the relationship before they enter into a marriage covenant. No living together. Absolutely not. Why? Because the temptation is there to have sex. It's not something to laugh at. It's something to respect when we look at God's word. After you get married, you don't have sex with anyone but your spouse. Pornography is so huge today. And the Bible says if you look at a woman, men, and lust after her, you've committed murder in your heart. If you just look, porn is such a big thing, not just for men, but also for women. It is eating alive, strong, godly men and women that would otherwise have the ability to stand up in faith and to stand up and maybe assume the purposes that God has for them. But Satan has come into their minds and he has tempted them, said, yeah, I know you're married. And but how about look at this? How about look at that? How about what's on your computer? What's on your phone? And they start eating away and snacking at this sinful lifestyle. And before you know, you have no relationship with Christ. You feel so guilty about your relationship with Christ. You can't even approach the throne of grace because this sexual sin is eating you alive. We're going to do a show on that in the near future. Deal with fights God's way. Bible says, speak the truth in love, in love. Don't look at him and tear him down one side and down the other and men to women. Speak the truth in love. Submit to each other as you submit to God. Husband, love your wives as your own body. Wives, submit to your husbands. There is a beautiful blueprint in scripture that people that aren't believers do not have. They don't have a blueprint for marriage. They're just sort of winging it. And well, this feels right. And maybe this will work when it's not working. Christians, take advantage of the blueprint that we have right in front of us. And when I met Eddie, we were pretty gangster about doing this. And so we did. And I could say 11 years later, we are desperate to follow God's plan for our lives. Why? Because we want God's best for us. I'm not on this earth twice. I'm on this earth once. I want God to get the maximum use out of me he can. And if I am not doing my marriage right, a very picture of Christ in the church, what am I doing? Under God, that is the most important relationship, my marriage with my husband, to respect him, to uphold him, to treasure him, women, and men, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, Eddie pursued me pretty hardcore. He was passionate about winning me. I didn't have all the goods out like happens these days. I was really focused on purity with the Lord because I had done it wrong the first time. And I encourage you, you hope for the divorce, especially in the church. God is your hope. And you can rise above this. And you can have a great marriage, number two. You absolutely can. But it would be a travesty if you do it wrong the second time. So cling to God's Word. Well, on that subject, we have our very first guest to the Autumn Miles Show. Her name is Amanda Carey. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for being here. Amanda is actually on my staff. In the next couple of days, we are going to introduce you to my team. She is one of the producers of the Autumn Miles Show. She is helping getting guests, coming up with topics and things like that. She also is the chief of staff of the Blush Network, which I am the CEO of. And one of the reasons why I'm sitting here talking to you today, our ministry is all about spiritually challenging the way women think. But Amanda is also married to my brother, David. And she has been on my staff for several years now. She's one of those sister-in-laws that you kind of dream about. I really think Amanda sort of makes up the world's most perfect person. She's awesome. But Amanda, I want to hear from you. What is your favorite thing about being married and doing marriage God's way?
Well, I think with me and David, it's been doing marriage God's way has been something so personal, and you can see God working in our lives, Julie, but then together, and it says, though he's done the same thing in our marriage. And so I think doing marriage God's way, just seeing how he truly has made us one has been really incredible. I mean, we are two separate people with two separate lives, but when we come together and it's almost as though when God does one thing in my life, he's done the exact same thing in David's life, yet in a completely different way. And so I think for me, that's probably the highlight.
Yeah. I know you know Eddie very well. But isn't it interesting how you finish each other's sentences? You come to a point where you just kind of, you don't even have to say anything. You just know what the other one is thinking. And I don't know, you just sort of feel what they're thinking when you do become one. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you can almost have a conversation without saying any words.
I know, it's interesting. Amanda just had my nephew, his name is Isaiah, and he is beyond precious. He's got white hair that's kind of translucent and big blue eyes, and we absolutely love him. But you know what, Amanda, as far as the show, as far as looking towards 2016 and the Autumn Miles Show, you will probably be on the show from time to time. What are you most excited about as we get to minister to people through radio?
Oh, gosh, I was praying about this last night, and I think what I'm most excited about is how God is going to make known his name because of a radio show. And I was just praying last night, and I mean, it's there's so many radio shows, and there's so many listeners, and I can't wait to see the stories that come out of this, the stories, how God's going to use your testimony, the stories of the different guests, and how people will come to know him and how he will make his name just more, not more prevalent, but prevalent in lives of people who don't yet know him. And so I think for me, that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people that work behind the scenes to make this thing go and to make this thing happen. And, you know, those of you that are listening, you know, we have all prayed for you a lot. A lot. I don't believe anything of spiritual significance happens apart from prayer. And so we have literally prayed for you. We don't know your face. And we don't know your name. I'd love to meet you one day. But Amanda has been a big part of praying for you. And Amanda, why don't you tell us just in a couple seconds, you know, what exactly is your role here at the Autumn Miles Show?
Well, we come up with the content, what we're going to cover each day, and then I'm a color-coded, different type of binder person, and so when we meet weekly, we put it all together, and I make up the document with every kind of subject and the topic and the guest and what Autumn's going to touch on. And so basically the content, I would say, is where I come in. And just getting it all organized and putting it together.
Yes, thank God, because I am not a color-coded person. I'm a put a microphone in front of me person, and I'll talk to you for 25 minutes on the dot. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate your marriage and what God has done in you and David's life. And I really appreciate David introducing me to my husband, Eddie. You know, for those of you out there that are struggling maybe in your marriage, and you're thinking, man, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to file those papers. Don't give up too soon. Get in God's word. Pray for your spouse. Get gangster with it. Start praying crazy things over your spouse. And let's resurrect that marriage by the power of God. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks so much for listening today. The Autumn Miles program is listener supported, and your donation to keep it on the air is appreciated. To make a donation, visit autumnmiles.com. And with a $100 donation or more, you'll receive an autographed copy of Autumn's book, Appointed, Your Future Starts Now. Join us next time for the Autumn Miles Show on Christian Talk Radio, The Word, 100.7 FM.